This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Tanahashi, and you are listening to the New Japan Procast.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. And at the time that we are recording this, it is a Saturday morning, December 31st, 2016, New Year's Eve. But at the time that you are listening to this, it is already 2017, making this the very first Purocast of the new year. And Damon, I can't think of a better way to kick off the Purocast for 2017 by doing our second annual end of year awards.
I am so wound up. Pants are down. There it is, kids. The first one of the year.
Hashtag pants down.
Pants down. Ready to rock and roll. The first show of 2017 that you'll be hearing this. Listen, everyone knows just a few short days away, we got New Japan's biggest show of the year at Wrestle Kingdom at the Dome. We got the New Year Dash the day after. It's a great time to be a fan of this promotion. It's a great time to be doing a New Japan podcast. And here we go. It's one of our most popular shows. The outpour of votes and participation blew away last year's numbers. Because I had to count all these goddamn things. You guys are the best. Let me just say that right out of the gate. First of all, you guys are the best. Again, the numbers blown away. Fantastic response to these Purocast awards. Two, you are some funny motherfucker. One of the greatest things about doing this, Colin, is, again, just the votes. But it's not just the votes. You know, I talked about it a couple of weeks ago where, you know, you kind of see the swings of momentum and how people vote and what people are thinking. And I think that's pretty important. But also it's just like the comments that people bring along, man. They kind of explain why they voted a certain way and why they like a certain guy or why they don't like a certain guy. And that can be pretty funny. That some of these emails make my day. And again, people thanking us for doing the show and saying, you know, that we're their favorite wrestling podcast, and you know, it's that kind of shit that really is like, you know, look, I don't want to go out here and sit here and, you know, pat ourselves on the back and all, but it's heartwarming. It's nice to hear.
I was gonna say, are we getting warm and cuddly, Damon, to start off 2017?
Look, I was blown away by some of the responses. Listen, there were people calling us dickheads, but, you know.
Such is life.
Yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some, Colin. But, you know, overall, I think everyone's positive toward the Purocast Awards, positive toward our little show here, our little podcast. So, listen, again, let's kick it off right. We got an award show to do. We got Wrestle Kingdom, a little bit more to talk about, because I am fired up for Wrestle Kingdom. I don't know about you, Miller. I think this show on paper looks tremendous. Exciting new matchups. We got people in their prime and locking up for the first time in a main event and a big show. I'm thrilled, man. I am really fucking excited for this week.
Absolutely. Wrestle Kingdom 11, just 3 days away. And Damon, you are going to be there live. So you're going to get to see Kazuchika Okada and Kenny Omega lock up for the very first time in a singles match.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I got to be honest with you. The butterflies are rocking. I'm packing already. Flights tomorrow, early tomorrow morning. So a lot of people are already there, Colin. A lot of people are already there, North America. I'm telling you, I said it last week. This is going to be the show that the North American, Australian, British. There's going to be a lot of us there. We're going to make our presence there. Get ready, Tokyo. It's going to be filled with non-Japanese in that building.
And that just goes to show you how popular the New Japan product has become.
On its own, and really on, you know, the merits of a lot of, I don't want to say underground things, but let's be 100% truthful here. New Japan hasn't done a stellar job marketing itself to the North American audience yet. Yes,
no,
they have
but
the access.
I think that we're going to see some big changes in 2017 as it pertains to branching out into the Western world.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. It's going to be listen, name me a Japanese promotion that's done that and has been successful. You can count them on one hand if you close your fist, right? None. Nobody's really done it. I mean, if you want to count like Pride, you know, but I don't even think Pride had, you know, that much success in the U.S., even if they had any, really. So, no. I mean, yes, there's drips and drabs of Japanese pro wrestlers that have had success in the U.S., but as a promotion, a Japanese-based promotion having, I mean, real success, running shows, having a television program that people can sink their teeth into and get interested in. No, it hasn't. Hasn't happened. So this will be a if the buzzes and the feeling of that New Japan is throwing out there little bits that, you know, 2017 is going to be a big year for the U.S. market. You know, like I said, it's going to be a rough one. It's not going to be an easy thing to do, but it's going to be exciting. I think 2017 is going to be real exciting when it comes to, again, that G1. Everybody's kind of, you know, heard the rumors about that with Rocky Romero and Tiger Hattori scouting buildings out there in California.
Yep, in Long Beach.
Yeah, that should be nice. That's a nice way to start a G1, right? We know the G1s are always – those first couple shows are always exciting. Again, the web presence, the relationship that they currently have with Ring of Honor, who knows how that grows. So it's going to be interesting. So 2017 is going to be good for us, the show, fans of the show, fans of the product. So, all right, let's see what happens.
Absolutely. And before we get into these PuroCast end of year awards, Damon, I have two things to say. Number one, I just want to thank you for not only providing our great loyal listeners with your wit and wisdom each and every week here on the PuroCast, but for taking the time to painstakingly count each and every individual vote for these awards. I know that was no easy task on your part. So,
well, thank you. It
myself and our listeners, thank you for that, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That comes with some good news and bad news, though, kids. I will say this. So, Wrestler of the Year was tight as molasses. I can't. Molasses is not very tight, is it?
No, I think
what would be tight? Give me something tight.
I don't think I can. This is a family podcast, Damon.
My bad. How about a mosquito's butthole? Huh? How about that? Tight?
Why can't you just say it was a tight race?
It was a tight race, Colin. So I was literally counting votes up until the last moments when I finally gave Colin the okay, and it was so tight that I wanted to make sure that I counted them right. And I got a little nervous, to be quite truthful. So the good news is obviously we have a winner. The bad news is that I couldn't get a place to make an award in enough time. So the idea of presenting an award, unfortunately, is going to have to be put on the back burner. But I'm sure that whoever wins the Wrestler of the Year award will make a stop sometime in the United States, I'm sure, during this calendar year, probably sooner than later. If and when that happens, I'll have it made. It will be done. It will be presented. We'll get that squared away. But it's not going to happen, unfortunately, this week because I couldn't find anybody to get it made. You know, with the holidays, places were closed. Places weren't even open. And the turnaround time just wasn't going to happen. So, again, it will be made. We'll give it to the person. It'll be nice. But unfortunately, it won't be on this trip.
Sure. And for what it's worth, this is still a very young podcast, really, when you think about it, even though we have grown tremendously in the short time that we have existed. So you can expect bigger and grander things for the PuroCast as well in 2017. And my final thought before we get into the big reveal of the winners here, Damon, I kind of wanted to get your brief take on 2016 as a whole as it pertains to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I'll give you my thoughts first just very quickly. In 2016, you know, the year kind of started off a little bit rough. It started off both on a positive and a negative note. The positive note being Wrestle Kingdom 10, just a complete blowaway show. And the negative note, obviously, the departure of some of New Japan Pro Wrestling's biggest stars in the form of Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles, two performers who, in my humble opinion, were largely responsible for the growing Western popularity of New Japan Pro Wrestling. However, in 2016, New Japan proved to me that they are the best pro wrestling company at taking a shitty situation, turning it into a positive, and creating new stars. I mean, we saw Tetsuya Naito effortlessly transition into the Nakamura role, and we saw Kenny Omega seemingly overnight transition into the AJ Styles role. So I can't think of any other company that exists currently that would have been able to do that.
Listen, I'm just about in full agreement in the sense of, yes, the positives that came out of that negative situation are tremendous. Look at this company and look at how exciting it is to have these fresh faces and this new blood at the top of the card. Kenny Omega, you know, you think about Kenny Omega and the year he has. He started out, you know, in a juniors match. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, think about what he has done the past two Wrestle Kingdoms. He's been in title matches for the junior title.
Yeah, and now he's headlining the biggest show of the year for the biggest company in Japan and arguably the number two promotion in the world. I mean, this event, Wrestle Kingdom, is, you know, behind WrestleMania, is the biggest event of the year.
And it's becoming a destination event, as you were alluding to at the start.
Yeah, and I think he has a lot to do with that. Again, I think this Wrestle Kingdom is going to be one of those events that people are willing to travel to, and a lot of these people, it's the first time even in the country. Again, it's not a trillion people, but more than I can ever remember hearing about of people going, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Yeah, but the year he's had has been unbelievable. Naito is the same. Did it start out shaky in the sense of, okay, look, well, here's the thing too. This is pro wrestling. You know, people could get hurt and you lose them for a year.
Kota Ibushi.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at, again, any promotion, you can go down the list and there's, you know, big stars getting hurt and they're out of action or they move or they go. And, you know, New Japan is, you know, they're not immune to that. You know, even back in the day, you know, when Riki Choshu jumped ship and went to All Japan, that you think that wasn't a huge deal? That's a huge deal. You know, with Tiger Mask originally, you know, and him trying to get out Inoki with all the financial issues that were caused, and Maeda and the UWF, and, you know, the list goes on and on. You know, even Muda to a certain degree, when he left. I mean, people leave. Big stars leave, and they go on, and they grow, and so while Nakamura and AJ, and I'll put this more on Nakamura, I think Nakamura was more of a cog in the wheel, and AJ was a player for and super hot, don't get me wrong, but for a very brief amount of time in the history of New Japan.
Sure, almost 2 years.
Yeah, people come and go. You know what? People come and go. But and I will say this again: people kind of, you know, when you get latched on to the product, and that's the product that you kind of discover, and now you're really super interested in. And when two big names like that go away, it might shock a lot of people. But really, in the truth of the world of wrestling, and since 1972 in New Japan, these things happen. This one was just a little bit more out front because not only are they leaving, they're going to a place where literally people could turn on the TV and watch them every week, right? So that was a little bit more of a bigger deal. 2016 I think was a fantastic year for New Japan. And gates and numbers and that's all important, and they've really remained steady, through this whole entire time. Yes, they've had shows in places where, the attendance fell off, dramatically, but yet they've recovered in other places. I think that they're solid. And I think this dome show is really going to play a huge tale of them moving forward with the guys that are on top.
I think dome show in many ways, when we look back on it after it's all said and done, I think that we are going to be saying that this one, Wrestle Kingdom 11, was just as important as Wrestle Kingdom 9 was as it pertains to branching out further into the U.S. and the Western world.
Colin, exactly my point, in the sense of this is going to be one of those events that's really going to be like a moment in time when the company's direction is going to be determined. This is again, from a pure entertainment spectacle pro wrestling show, this is going to be a great show on paper, right? The lineup is tremendous. But from a business and a direction and where this company goes, this show is massive. This show is a massive show for the importance, the relevancy to the North American audience and the Japanese audience moving forward. This is going to be one of those things that people are going to circle and be like, okay, things started moving in this direction, and they circle the calendar, and the Tokyo Dome show is going to be it. And even New Year Dash the next day, we always are excited that day after, because a lot of shit usually happens that show. It's a fun show. So again, that's why we're all excited. It's not just this tremendous show that we're going to see. It's okay. I don't want to say a reboot or a relaunch but this is really going to tell a tale of 2017.
Absolutely. So what do you say we get into the moment that everyone has been waiting for, the winners of the 2016 PuroCast End of Year Awards, as voted on by you, the loyal PuroCast listeners?
Yes, many votes, many ballots were casted. I'm excited to start revealing some of these winners. We're gonna start out right at the top, Colin. Why don't you take it away? Let's start off right at the top. Let's not wait any further. Let's jump right in.
All right, so here we go. Starting from the top to the bottom, let's kick it off on a high note with Wrestler of the Year.
All right, so Wrestler of the Year, 2016. We talked about it earlier, how it was a two-man race, right? Well, it was even a three-man race, to be quite frank. And that was between...
You don't have to be Frank. You can be Damon.
I'm going to be Damon for a little bit. And that was Okada, Naito, and Omega, right? We all saw that coming. Well, here we go. 2016, Wrestler of the Year, number one vote, as voted by you, the listeners, Tetsuya Naito.
Yep, Tetsuya Naito, winner of the 2016 PuroCast Wrestler of the Year Award, as well as the Tokyo Sports MVP of the Year. How about that?
Yeah, he swept quite a few awards, actually. Look, it was close. I told the story of I couldn't pre-order this award. It wasn't like, you could see the handwriting on the wall and be able to say, okay, this guy's winning, I can go order this thing. Nah. Okada and Omega, it was neck and neck, guys and gals. It was really a super tight race. And the problem was, it was either people were voting for Naito or they were voting for Omega in that first spot. And to follow it up, if you voted for Omega in the first spot, pretty much everyone voted for Naito second, another way around. Now, listen, Okada got a lot of first place votes. He got a lot of first place votes. He also got a shit ton of third place votes. But for the majority, it was a Naito, Omega, Tanahashi. He didn't fare that well, to be quite frank. Ishii did well. Ishii got a ton of third place votes. He got a nice handful of first place votes. But truth be told, this was Omega and Naito. And again, Okada was in the mix, absolutely. But Yeah, Naito edging out Omega for Wrestler of the Year this year. And well-deserved. I mean, well-deserved.
Yeah, if you just think about the growth and the evolution of Tetsuya Naito all the way from the summer of 2015 up to this point, it's kind of amazing how, like I said earlier, Shinsuke Nakamura left, and I think that the guy who really filled that role in New Japan has been Naito. And you know what? Another interesting thing about him winning Wrestler of the Year, I don't think, and some of you may disagree with this, I think you'll agree with this, Damon, I don't think that Naito has had the best year out of anybody as it pertains to match quality. Now, granted, Naito was involved in many Match of the Year candidates. However, he's been one of those wrestlers this past year who has kind of picked his spots, so to speak. I mean, we've talked about it many times before in the PuroCast. You have referred to the LIJ handcuffs, mm-hmm. as you put it. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration when it comes to Wrestler of the Year. You know, it's not entirely 100% about in-ring quality. Of course, that's a huge part of it, but it's also about, you know, how much merch are they moving? You know, what is their drawing power? Are they, you know, able to sell out buildings? And think about how Naito, he sold out that power struggle in a pretty not so sexy looking main event against Jay Lethal.
Correct.
I mean, a guy who isn't really that familiar to the Japanese audience. I mean, that says a lot about the drawing power of Tetsuya Naito.
Yeah, that was the point. That was on the tip of my tongue, Colin. That house show, not the house show, but building, Osaka, if I'm not mistaken. And Osaka's a pretty hot wrestling crowd, let's be honest here.
And a crowd that has been notoriously anti-Naito in the past.
Yeah, and that might have been a large portion of those, but even now, you know what, going looking back on that show, it wasn't an anti-Naito crowd, you know,
not at all.
Definitely no. So and what was the other, was that Tanahashi
and Sanada, I believe.
Yeah, so
a great match.
Look, you can't go back and listen to old PureCast shows. I was not the biggest fan of this LIJ bullshit. I was not the biggest fan of you know, we called him Larry Zbysko Naito, you know, just stall. You know, I couldn't put my head around it. I couldn't wrap my head around
it. Damon, I remember when we first started off this podcast in the summer of 2015, just in time for the G1 Climax 25, you were very critical, to put it mildly, about this whole LIJ gimmick. You really laid the boots to Naito at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not. I like I said, I couldn't wrap my head around it. So, yeah, it took me a while to get on board. And I was probably one of the last guys on the train. No doubt about it.
Damon, come lately.
Listen, I can't deny it. You go back and listen to it; it's all there. I was not a fan. I didn't get it. And in fact, I thought it hurt him. I thought it would hurt him in the long run. And boy, was I fucking wrong on that. he's the hottest guy in the company, and arguably the hottest guy in the business. So there it is, kids. 2016, it's Naito, Omega coming in second place, and Okada in third place this year.
Okada getting the bronze this year.
Look, you know, he did very well for himself, and there's a lot of people, and the arguments are there where people could vote for him. All three of them, you know, I would not hand wave any one of them. If it turned out Omega was Wrestler of the Year, I would have no qualms about that. And Okada, okay, I kind of think Omega and Naito, this was their years, but again, the arguments are absolutely there for Okada being a first place vote. Again, it was close, but Naito's your winner.
All right. And moving on to perhaps the most difficult category for our listeners to vote in. I know it was for me, Match of the Year for 2016. And looking back on last year's awards, we only had 10 nominees. And damn it, we struggled to like nail it down to just 20 nominees, I think we had. Like,
yeah,
that was a struggle. So think about that, what that says for New Japan in 2016.
Yeah, I said, you know, when you look at that promotion, name me another promotion where you could legitimately, not just things that are on the borderline, but legitimately give me 20 matches. 20 matches that could you could have a conversation about being match of the year, right? Now, the voting kind of skewed in certain ways, obviously. And I think the 20, it might have given people too many options, I want to say, because it did somewhat split votes in kind of weirder ways. And I'll talk about that in a second. But Colin, why don't you give us the 2016 PureCast Match of the Year?
All righty, here we go. The winner for Match of the Year of 2016 is Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Kazuchika Okada from Wrestle Kingdom 10.
There you go. So this, again, was a very close one. The first place votes really did the key for Tana and Okada of Wrestle Kingdom winning this one. Second place was Omega Naito from G1, the semifinals, right? Oh, my phone just went dead. I had them all written down. Sorry.
I have the third place one.
Why don't you do the third place one? Because I had to reboot my phone. Okay.
The third place one is Okada versus Ishii from the G1 Climax, which was my vote for number one, actually.
Yes, which did well in second and third place votes. It got a handful of first place votes. When I say a handful, I mean around 10-ish. But yeah, the first place votes is what, like, when matches get first place votes, it's hard for other matches to overcome. You know what I mean? That those 5 points mean a lot. And the majority of the people that voted, when they voted, Tana and Okada was their number one vote. Like, for instance, the third place votes for that match, it was only like five votes. So only five people gave it their third best vote, for third best. But a match like Ricochet and Ospreay got a ton of third place votes, right?
I'm actually surprised that that match didn't make it to the top three because, I mean, that is a very American match.
You want a match that did better?
Sure.
That surprised me.
Go ahead.
So a match that beat that in the total rankings, AJ Nakamura from Wrestle Kingdom.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting because I think that match, as great as it was, I think both of their departures almost overshadowed the memory of the match. Does that make sense?
It does, but go back and watch the match. Watch it with a little bit more of a, I'm just going to enjoy this for a pro wrestling match.
I just did the other day, as a matter of fact.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay, what'd you think?
I enjoy that match more now than I did when I first watched it, actually.
Right. Right, and I think many people went back and watched matches, and they just took that match as a just on its own merits. It got a lot of votes. It did very well. Another match that did very well was Okada Marufuji
from King of Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, did very well. Ishii Shibata did very well.
Yeah, from Wrestle Kingdom 10. That was in my top three in my votes. I think that was my number two, as a matter of fact.
Yep. Goto Omega did pretty well. I think the biggest surprise for me was the Ricochet Ospreay match. It did well, but like first place votes, like a handful. Like, and when I say a handful, like five-ish.
And I think it's because people look at that match as more of an athletic showcase of the junior heavyweight division than they do as a story, if you know what I mean. I mean, Tanahashi versus Okada. That I watched that match for the first time the other day, actually, since Wrestle Kingdom 10, when it first aired. I had not rewatched that match all
Good.
Year.
Okay.
Nope. And I watched it again, and it really does just take you on a roller coaster ride of emotions. And
yeah,
out of all the matches that those two guys have had, I mean, they've had so many great matches, three great matches at Wrestle Kingdom alone. I think that this one was their Mona Lisa.
Yeah. I mean, that's, look, I'm not going to sit here and pants down it again. I think people are sick of hearing it. But yeah, I mean, you know how we feel about that. And And you know, and here's the thing, their G1 match, that did pretty, it did well, it did okay in the voting, but that got recognition as well. So, you know, for them to be able to pull that off of G1 again, is pretty amazing coming off of what they were able to do at Wrestle Kingdom. So there you go. That's your, those are your matches of the year. So Tanahashi Okada at Wrestle Kingdom, Omega Naito the G1 semifinal, and Okada and Ishii, which is just a tremendous match. Go! But if you haven't watched that one again, holy shit, just such a great match. Knock it in at third place. So well done, boys. Excellent job on the voting there as well.
All righty. Congrats to Tanahashi and Okada. So moving on to Junior of the Year.
Well, this one was not close. I will say that. By a landslide victory, your junior for 2016 is Kushida.
For the second year in a row, I might add.
Yeah, he really he was head and shoulders winning this thing, and you could kind of almost tell early how he was distancing himself with the first place votes. So the second and third, I thought, were a little bit more interesting, to be truthful. So second place was Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay got second place, which wasn't super shocking. To me, more it was like the third place. And third place was Ricochet. So Ricochet, Ospreay, and the winner, Kushida.
Was Prince Puma in there anywhere?
Prince Puma did not get any write-in, oddly enough. Bushi fared okay. He got a lot of third-place votes. Taguchi had a lot of third-place votes. There were a couple people that popped in a little Matt Sydal.
Hey, my boy.
Yeah. There are a couple people popped in a Liger.
Hey, look, Liger had – I think that we said this at last year's awards. He had a really great year.
I mean, for Liger, yeah, for what Liger is supposed to produce and where he is on a show and where he is in the grand scheme of things, yeah, I think Liger had a very strong 2016 for a 50-something-year-old guy. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and people recognize that. He got a handful of votes. Again, Sydal, Taguchi did well. But, yeah, by and large, this was Kushida's show, and the voters spoke early and often, giving him the top prize in our awards.
And, you know, I really think that the booking of Will Ospreay had a large part to do with Kushida winning, because Will Ospreay, we've said it so many times now, he came in red hot. And if he would have been booked a little bit more stronger, I don't know, you're probably saying, Colin, he won the best of the Super Juniors. Yes,
he did.
But after that, man, he just, if he would have captured the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title and, you know, had a little run with it, I think that this category would be a different story. I think Will Ospreay would have won if he wasn't booked the way that he was.
If Will Ospreay was Bushi, would he have won this award?
If Will Ospreay was Bushi.
In other words,
he'd be spraying mist.
Well, my bad, right? my point being, like, if he had the opportunities that Bushi had this year, had a little short little cup of coffee with the belt, you know, bigger, longer, it felt like a longer feud with Kushida at the top, winning the, and if he still won the Best of the Super Junior. So if he won the Best of the Super Junior and had the kind of year that Bushi had sitting with the belt, would he be the Junior of the Year?
I think it's a safe bet. And I'll tell you what, another thing that I find interesting, I don't know about you, but I can name more memorable Will Ospreay matches from 2016 than I can Kushida matches.
No.
You're in disagreement there?
Yeah, because...
Not to say that Kushida had a bad year, because obviously he didn't. He had some tremendous matches. I mean, that match that he had with Kyle O'Reilly from night one of Best of the Super Juniors, a tremendous match. But I don't know, Will Ospreay, just in my mind, his body of work stood out more in 2016 than Kushida did. Well, you know what?
Well, let me ask you this. Minus the Ricochet match, and any match that he was in there with Kushida, what else did he have?
Well, that's the thing. I was just about to correct myself there, because I think that I might be taking into account matches that he had outside of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Like, right. I'm thinking about that Marty Scurll match from Rev Pro at the beginning of the year.
Right, right.
I'm thinking about his stuff in ROH.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's plenty that he you can dip your toes into with him. He's, you know, he's and the Evolve stuff at WrestleMania weekend, right?
Yeah,
that stuff. So yeah, he's had an outstanding year. Unfortunately, some of that stuff that we look back on didn't occur necessarily in a New Japan ring.
Yeah, but as a whole, just to me, you know, if we're going outside of New Japan, I think that Ospreay had a more impressive body of work for 2016. That's just my opinion, but nevertheless,
especially early, yeah, especially early, Colin. Yeah, especially the first half of the year. I'll give you that.
That's the thing, and that's like the story with Ospreay early on. You know, when he first got hot.
Yeah, but we were saying the same thing about Kushida too in the beginning of the year. You know, when we were talking in the beginning of the year, we were talking about, you know, how Kushida was having a fucking fantastic year and how there could be talk of him in Wrestler of the Year if he kept it up. I got to be honest, it was that Super fucking J Cup that screwed everything up. that was really the moment that the juniors just disintegrated in my eyes.
I think that Super J Cup screwed everything up. Like the course of the rest of the year for everything in the world, that just...
Really, just put everything on its axis.
Yep.
Listen, I'm excited for what we got going on here with Takahashi and Kushida at the Dome. To me, Takahashi is the – and you know which one I'm talking about.
Yujiro, huh? Right?
No. You know, I'm excited. And I think, to me, he going into the Dome, for me personally, he's the one guy that has the most juice. So, again, 2017 is going to be a real telling year for how this juniors situation rebounds. But yeah, I mean, that's beginning of the year was crucial, and then things seem to unravel. All right, so there's your junior situation for 2016.
Yep, congrats to Kushida for becoming the 2016 Junior of the Year and the very first ever multi-time PuroCast End of Year Award winner. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Moving on to one of our not so sexy categories, Tag Team of the Year.
Yeah, well, listen, we talked about this one not being close, and it really wasn't. 2016 was not a banner year for the tag team division, right? We all know that. But one team stood out. And that team, the 2016 PureCast Tag Team of the Year, the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks.
And that should come as no surprise to anyone. I mean, this was a runaway Young Bucks year.
Yeah, in a New Japan ring, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, you know, may have, you know, used the Revival. Not the Revival.
Hey, they're a great team.
I know, but I did not want to say the Elite is what I wanted to say, Colin. You know why? Because I had Revival in my head because there's this thread on the Classic board, and they were talking about tag teams of the year, and they got mentioned, and it was just a big fucking clusterfuck. But no, the Elite is what I'm trying to say, Colin. The work that the Young Bucks did in the Elite may have played a factor in that. But yeah, this was a blowaway, runaway for the Bucks. No real competition. Seidel and Ricochet, they were in the mix there, Colin. Roppongi in the mix. Briscoe's in the mix. Even G.O.D. was certainly in the mix for second and third place. But this year it was Young Bucks winning. Second place was Ricochet and Seidel. And third place was, and I think, the end of the year, we talk about people's beginnings of the year being hot and then cooling off. I think just the opposite for this tag team. G.O.D. picking up the third place for tag team of the year.
And I think that that's why they even got in the third place position, because of the matches that they had at the end of the year. If they didn't start to pick up the slack, I don't even think they would have made it.
Yeah, I really think these last couple of months helped even give them consideration for making the top three. Roppongi just missed the top three. Briscoes were in the mix. But yeah, Bucks. I was kind of surprised at Seidel and Ricochet, actually. I was a little bit, yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I just didn't think they had a huge body of work.
So you weren't very high on Seidel and Ricochet.
Kicked them, boom. Nice one, Colin. Fucking home run. I don't know. I mean, listen, it wasn't a huge. We had people that just gave two votes, and they were like, "I can't come up with a third." Right? It's just like, I fucking just can't do it. I can't in good conscience give them a vote. You know how that feels, Colin.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there? Yeah, but we knew early and we knew often that the Bucks were taken away. To give you a decent clue, there was at one point where the Young Bucks had just – everybody voted Young Bucks number one, and you know this is probably halfway through, and they had about 3 second place votes and no third place votes, right? So people were just voting Young Bucks number one across the board. Yes, GOD picked up a handful of first place. Briscoe's picked up a handful of first place, but it was nowhere near the amount the Young Bucks got. And there you have it, Tag Team of the Year, the Young Bucks.
You know what one of my favorite matches in general was in 2016? And I'm talking in all of pro wrestling.
What's that?
That six-man match that we saw at the ROH 14th anniversary show in Vegas. It was the Elite versus Kushida, ACH, and Matt Sydal. That makes probably my top 10 for matches of the year in general for 2016. I love that match.
Me too. Okay, I did. And I think the crowd there loved it too. I thought it was a hot crowd for that match specifically. And again, that was coming right off of
Omega.
Kenny. Yeah, Kenny
winning the IC title, beating Tanahashi.
Yep. So he was, did he win the title yet? I know it came right off of Dash. Did he win was he the IC champion?
Yep, he was the IC champion at that point.
Okay.
He had just won it.
Yeah, so he was super red hot in the crowd. They, you know, wherever the Bucks go, it seems like, especially on an ROH show, they're always getting a good.
Go back and watch that match, though, kids.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was one of those American style PWG ROH main event kind of, you know, those type of matches. It was good. I definitely remember.
Four and a quarter, Damon.
It was over four. I know that. It was good. it was a fun fucking match. That's for sure.
Alrighty, moving on to show of the year for 2016.
Well, unfortunately, once again, this was I want to say necessarily a runaway, like the way the Bucks took the tag award. But there was a clear and definitive winner. And the show of the year, according to you, our loyal listeners, was exactly this time last year. Wrestle Kingdom 10. Is our 2016 show of the year.
That's right. And honestly, this comes as no surprise to me. And that's the thing about Wrestle Kingdom. I mean, I have a feeling that it's a safe bet that we'll be saying the same thing next year at this time about Wrestle Kingdom 11. Just from top to bottom, Wrestle Kingdom is always a blowaway show. And
it's because it's fun and it's the most event kind of, like, the only thing I can kind of think of is the G1 finals. That's the only thing to me that comes close in the calendar year this is an event. This is the biggest building. This is the lights and the video packages and the cool entrances and
the pyro
and you know 28,000, 30,000 people and just fantastic matches.
And just to interject something really quick, I hear on the streets that the ticket sales for this year's Wrestle Kingdom are better than last year's. So I think, Damon, that maybe we might be looking at 30,000 possibly in attendance.
Right. That's what I predicted. I think we'll be at 30, maybe a little bit higher. And that's great news for Naito and Omega. Right, that's tremendous news. If they can match what last year brought, awesome. If they could find a way to just nudge a little bit higher, ooh, that's a feather in their fucking cap. That's something they can strut. They can do a little Ric Flair strut.
You know what they should do? I have a brilliant idea for how to really pack the dome. You know how when Okada makes his entrance, you know, you see the Okada Bucks just flying everywhere.
I do.
Outside of the dome, they should just have tickets just flying everywhere like confetti.
I think I read it in the Observer this past one, and I knew about it from before, but in the lean years, you know, with the whole stupid fucking MMA, Inoki's obsession with having his wrestlers get their ass kicked in the ring, there were times where they would give away tickets and people wouldn't show just out of spite, like just out of the fact that they hated the way that the promotion was going. Like, they were giving away tickets and people weren't going. No, that's not. I don't want a padded house. I want people buying tickets and supporting the product. That's what I really want. Colin, I'm dead serious, man. I've never heard of so many non-Japanese people flying in for this show. It might be because I'm in a bubble, and that's really our audience, and you know who we communicate with on a daily basis. I've never heard of so many people traveling and saving their pennies and hard-earned money to make this and using vacation time and making it work to go. I mean, there's people that are staying in those for a week in those little capsule hotels.
Hostels?
No. A hostel would be like the fucking Four Seasons. it's a building, right?
Uh-huh.
That has these little, they're almost like, I think of a mausoleum.
Like,
right?
like an alien when Sigourney Weaver came out of her space-induced sleep.
Yeah, like a little pod, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a mausoleum where there's just these cubby holes, right? That's your room. That's where you sleep.
Only in Japan.
Well, yeah, and like I can't imagine spending a week there. Like, here's the thing. When I go somewhere like this, And again, Bali was a big mistake, but
Bali.
I got to go someplace that's like I'm familiar with. I got to go to a Hilton, or I got to go to a Hyatt, or I got to go to a Marriott.
You need a room. In other words,
I need a fucking room. And listen, even by Japanese standards, rooms are pretty small. By North American standards, should I say? Eric texted me this morning. Eric finally got there from the Classic Report. He got there this morning. He's like, oh, my room, it's a fucking closet. should have forked over the bucks, buddy.
I figured you guys would have been flying out together.
No, well, I went before, like I booked it before him, and I kind of convinced him to go. And I think, you know what convinced him to go? G1.
Okay.
Like, he got the bug G1. He was like, oh fuck, this is going to be great. All right. I gotta find a way to go. So yeah, he booked before me, but yeah, he flew out yesterday and got there this morning. Where are we here?
Getting back to the show of the year, though, Wrestle Kingdom. As I was saying, this should come as no surprise to anyone. I mean, we had not one, not two, but three match of the year candidates from this show alone. So there you go. Wrestle Kingdom 10, show of the year for 2016.
Yep. Second place was King of Pro Wrestling, which was an outstanding show. And third place was... And this is where maybe the problem when we talk about, you know, people splitting their votes. Third place was the G1 semifinal, the 8/13, the August 13th show.
That was the Omega Naito show.
Correct. Yes. But right behind it, right on its heels, was the 12th show. That was Tanahashi Okada. Yes. So that's the order. Kingdom, King of Pro Wrestling, then the 8/13 G1 semi. Power Struggle, a handful of votes. Dominion. Handful of votes, but that's how the voting fell this year.
And not to harken back to match of the year, but if you were to ask me what was a better match, Tanahashi and Okada from the G1 or Omega and Naito from the G1, that's a very difficult question for me to answer. And quite frankly, I don't know if I can give you a definite answer, because I love both of those matches for different reasons. And I think that those two matches played a big part in the splitting up of these two G1 shows. So there you go.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think the Omega Naito match was, and I put this in the old air quotes, was more spectacular.
Right.
And the Okada Tanahashi match was more dramatic.
That's make a very sense? Good point. Yes, perfect sense.
Thank you, Colin. I appreciate that. All right.
And you don't often make sense, Damon. So
I really don't. I'm a blathering idiot sometimes. Blithering?
Blithering.
Slytherin.
See, case in point.
Right. I prove my own dopiness. Oh, I'm a fucking moron. All right, let's move on. Why do you people listen to the show? Oh, my Lord. All right, here we go.
Most improved for 2016. And in my mind, the most interesting category that we have here.
Very tight. I will say this, that this is mosquito ass territory, kids. Very tight. I can't even say it's a three-man race. It was like three or four. But the way that the voting balanced out was very interesting. So here we go. And I think this is a very important award, right? It's one of my favorite awards because this is a fun award to see the progression and really kind of latch on to somebody as they're growing into their role and growing into their position and becoming someone. Like, to me, this is a fun part about being a pro wrestling fan. This particular award and what it means. All right. So with that said, you guys voted the most improved pro wrestler in a promotion that is chock full of arguably the greatest wrestlers on the planet. These are the guys who have improved the most. The number one, the winner, 2016, Juice Robinson wins most improved.
Juice Robinson, the most improved wrestler of 2016. And let's think about that for a moment, because when Juice first debuted in New Japan, Damon, the both of us were kind of saying the same thing.
Shitting on him?
What
the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah. We were like, what's this guy doing here? Like, I don't get it. But now, as more of the pieces have fallen into place, Juice, we've said it before, he had a very slow progression in New Japan. I mean, he was CJ Parker in NXT. He decided to leave that all behind, head to Japan, and just start from scratch. And while we were critical from him in the beginning, he slowly, let's go back to the old cupcake analogy. You know, Juice was was whisking that bowl. He was whisking and whisking, and finally, we got a delicious tasting cupcake.
Yeah, he was washing dishes for fuck's sake
for
months.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Right.
You know, and we're like, dude, are you gonna make us a fucking cake or what? He's gonna sit there and wash dishes all day. We brought up this point up in a earlier podcast is that we don't have patience, or at least in this particular case. We didn't have patience.
I don't have patience in general.
Well, I mean, you're looking at the definition of non-patience. and that's a problem when you have a guy who, like you said, is going to strip it all down to nothing and work your way up, which he has obviously more patience than us. The promotion has more patience than us. And that's something that we can learn from. In the sense of, okay, not everybody's going to come in, and nor should they come in and just be a world beater. Some guys are going to do the right things by their career, take their time, and rebuild in a proper manner. And trust me, it's a proper manner because it's a noticeable manner. And you know, the listeners of this particular podcast agree. I remember last year, Juice had people writing in, you know, least popular or, you know, most not liked or disliked or whatever.
Yeah, least favorite.
Yeah. So he had plenty of votes going in his favor there. And again, I think for a lot of the same reasons that we talked about. Listen, is he Prince Devitt? Is he AJ Styles? Is he Kenny Omega? No. But he is certainly 1,000 times more enjoyable than where he was last year. The dude is got a singles match, and listen, he's there to put over Cody Rhodes, mind you. Probably. Wouldn't it be awesome if Juice gets the win?
That would blow my mind if Juice Robinson defeated Cody. You want that to happen, don't you?
Oh, I would pop. I would fucking go berserko. Yeah. I would go nuts.
The hate for Cody Rhodes is just seething from you, Damon. I can feel it.
Here it is, my man. It's not that I hate Cody Rhodes himself. I hate the fact that in my mind, that's a spot that doesn't mean dick all to the Japanese audience.
I know.
It's and he's taking it from someone else that I think could deserve it. I just me. That bothers me. Let's see what kind of match he has. But that's how we feel about that. But wouldn't that be awesome?
Getting
but
back to Juice, though, like you said, if you would have told us that Juice Robinson would have a singles match on the biggest show of the year,
yeah,
we would have said you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, that's a nice, you know, that's and it's a you talked about it last week how that's a nice little spot for him, a perfect opponent. So no, I mean. And again, it's a progression. I think the odds are that he's losing this match. If he can put what we're looking for out of Juice is a good performance. We're looking for a good performance out of Juice. Make this match again. We're not asking for you to make it, you know, in our top five next year. Make it good. Make it a good match, and I think that'll help in the progression of Juice Robinson. But way to go! Hats off to Juice. Well done. All right. So second place, right?
Again. Yeah, second place going to Evil.
Yes, Evil, which a little bit surprised me, to be truthful. I don't know if we did a good job enough of kind of putting that bug in people's ear. I think sometimes when we do our when we did our show from Bali and we gave our picks, you know, I think people use that sometimes as an influence to their votes. Not everyone. I'm not saying that, but I think that in some cases it is. And you know, maybe we talk a little bit more about other guys and how what kind of year they had. And I know Juice is probably one of them. But we did talk a little bit about Evil, and I know I mentioned Evil and the kind of year he had and where he was a year ago. People saw it and people recognized it, and people voted in kind, giving him second place. It was close, but it wasn't super close. It wasn't like Wrestler of the Year close. But second place is a really good spot for Evil in Most Improved. I think it's well deserved and probably a guy that might fall under the radar a little bit when it comes. But you guys, with your votes, I think helped not make it under the radar. So second place for Evil. You want to do third? Do third.
Sure. And third place actually kind of surprised me, not because I'm surprised that he made it, but I'm surprised that he was at number one. And that is Yoshihashi. Because to me, out of anyone, Yoshihashi was the most improved wrestler in my eyes. And I think the reason why he's in third place and not first place is because, let's face it, Yoshihashi's been around for a while.
Right. Yoshihashi, people, you know, he's just giving the opportunity. A lot of people's arguments was he's just giving the opportunity to shine more.
Right.
And show what he can do. Yeah, I thought he would be second. I thought he was a real close contender for first.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be first going into this when we first announced the nominees. I thought Yoshihashi, absolutely. I mean, between the matches that he had, the two matches with Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think people are savvy enough to see that, hey, Juice has literally improved in the ring where Yoshihashi has delivered things that he already has in his arsenal.
Right.
And just was never able to shine. And I think Evil is kind of like the mix of the two, right? I think Evil is kind of sort of the mix of the two. But yeah, going into it, if you said who's winning this, I would have probably have said either Juice or Yoshihashi and Evil third. But nope, the votes worked out. Juice Robinson first, Evil second, Yoshihashi taking the third place. David Finley got plenty of third place votes.
I thought he would have made it. I thought he was going to be number three, actually. I really did.
Yeah, he had plenty of third place votes. A handful of first place, but mostly third place votes. G.O.D. got a handful. A couple people threw in a Tonga Loa.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple people threw in a Tonga Loa.
Obviously based on his end of year performances.
Yeah, listen, it's definitely an improvement over what it was. Sonata got a couple votes. Actually a little bit more than a couple. He did okay.
Sonata, again, to me, he was great right off the bat.
Yeah. I don't think, I think what he got was a very cool character, a very good look. He doesn't look like a Japanese, pop idol, right? He looks like a fucking badass.
And he's got some cool music as well.
Yeah, it helps. And it helps being in a very cool, hot, stable. So
that's an understatement.
Yeah, right. So, and a leather jacket, that helps too.
That I was just thinking about that the other day, actually. 2017. Yeah. You know, Damon, I've been making my list of things that I really want to accomplish and
I like this.
Improve right. upon in 2017. Yeah. And I think 2017, finally, you're going to see me in that leather jacket.
Fuck, all right. Nice. Good boy. I like to hear that. This is your year, Colin. I feel it.
I can feel it, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I like this. I like this new Colin Mill, everybody. Woo. He's going to be doing solo shows soon.
Hey, let's not get crazy now.
He's going to be kicking ass and taking names in 2017. I like this. He's going to be, he's going to pull into work in his car. Sexy Boy is going to be playing.
Or the Hitman theme.
Yeah, yeah. Take off your sunglasses, give it to the secretary. Yeah, great.
You know, I do that when I'm in the elevator at work, or actually when I'm walking through the halls and nobody is there. Remember when Bret Hart's entrance, when he would come out and he'd kind of hold his hands and
yeah, kind of look around. Yeah,
I do that all the time as I'm walking through the halls.
I will say this. What I've been doing a lot lately is I've been doing a lot of the Los Ingobernables. I've been doing the chest pound, hand to the eye. Yeah, I just out of nowhere. I'll be sitting at dinner. Just
I also do the Kenny Omega gun sign.
Oh yeah, right. The click click. Yeah, yeah. Look at you. We're like big pro wrestling fans.
We are, aren't we?
Yeah. People looking at us like we're morons. All right. So that's most improved. Juice, Evil, Yoshihashi. Where are we on to next?
So Juice Robinson, well-deserved most improved wrestler of 2016. And we move on to biggest disappointment of the year.
Collins, 2016.
Hey.
Wow, your 17 is going to be great.
Hey, my 16 wasn't too shabby either, but you're right. 17 is going to be a improvement.
That's going to be most improved. That's going to be the winner of most improved.
Yeah, Colin
Miller. Colin Miller.
Yeah.
Nice. I like this. All right. So biggest disappointment. It was somewhat close, but as voted by you, our lovely listeners, you all kind of felt the same way we did here on the show by giving the biggest disappointment of 2016 to the Super J Cup.
And this choice does not surprise me at all, because think about, number one, when it was announced early on in the year that we were going to see a Super J Cup, I mean, you just think about the legacy of the Super J Cup name, and you think about all those great matches from the one from 1994, and you think about the state of the junior division. You know, people were arguing that it was mid-90s level, the talent that New Japan had.
And not even New Japan, but other promotions.
Well, yeah, exactly. Other promotions. I mean, from Noah and Dragon Gate and All Japan, you know, et cetera, et cetera. This was such a misfire, such a missed opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, when it was announced, everybody's pants were down and everybody was just jazzed.
Drooling
at the idea of the Super J Cup. And then as you kind of got, okay, well, you know, it's going to be all these promotions, but they're not going to send their best guys in this, you know, so your expectations were, you know, you kind of knocked down a little bit, and then you got the lineup and you're like, it got knocked down a little bit. And then the matches happened and you're like, okay, is there okay? And you're hoping for night two, and night two, you know, it was an empty building and all the shenanigans from the Noah contingencies, contingents. We all know what happened. It was a massive fart in the collective faces of all of us wanting something tremendous. Now, listen, if you like farts to the face and you think that's tremendous, great. Most people don't.
Hey, I know some folks that...
that are into that?
Yeah.
Really? I don't. Regardless, this was a... disappointment, I think, on all levels. I don't think anybody walked out of this thinking that this was a massive success, and I don't think anybody walked out of this thinking that they got their taste buds satisfied for what they thought the Super J Cup was going to be.
I'm going to be quite blunt. That second Super J Cup show, the finale,
yeah,
that was one of the worst shows I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, you haven't sat through some WWF house shows in the 80s.
I've watched them too. I've watched some of the old, you know, 80s MSG WWF shows, but
yeah,
just it was terrible.
Again, it was disappointing too. And the show itself was tough to get through. Like I remember texting you and like just thinking, oh my god, this is shit.
I was dreading doing the podcast actually. Yeah. After we watched that, because I'll tell you what did we get out of the Super J Cup? I think that tournament as a whole hurt Kushida.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, give me a positive that came out of it. The positive that came out of it was Tomato, right?
Yeah. Tomato.
People know Tomato.
And I'm still campaigning for that tomato cheeseburger tag team, by the way.
Oh, I'm starving. I could use a tomato cheeseburger. It was a wreck, and it was what it was. All right, so that was number one. Would you like to know what number two was, Colin?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. Well, it's a continuing theme here with the number two pick. It's that tag team division. Maybe you've heard of it. New Japan has it. It's
they have two of them.
Yeah, they have a couple. They have multiple ones.
Yeah, they have three of them, actually. Yes. Never mind.
Well, look, our fans aren't too thrilled with the direction that 2016 took for our beloved tag team championships, and your voices were heard. It's number two and the biggest disappointment once again. I believe it was last year's number one, right?
I believe so.
I think it was. I'm almost sure, wasn't it? I think it was. Well, look, we had a lot of shit that we had to wade through when it came to this tag team tournament. And I think even the junior belts have gotten dinged up while we're talking about tag team divisions. And of course, the never six man is to me more exciting than any of them.
Yeah, because at least you get some fun out of those titles.
Right.
I mean, I have no doubt that gauntlet match that we're going to see at the Dome, that's probably going to be fun.
Oh, I imagine it's going to be fun. I mean, I think the gauntlet style, whatever, like the first two or three matches are going to be, it's going to be complete horseshit, right? It's going to be like a 3-minute match and a 2-minute match just to fucking kill. I mean, how much time can they possibly give that horseshit?
Right.
So, you know, those first couple of falls are going to be, you know, out of nowhere, easy paycheck, out the door. It's going to be like Bushwhackers in the fucking Royal Rumble.
Luke.
Right, just doing the fucking strut down and then whoop, over the top, and then out the door.
I want to see you doing that at the Dome, by the way.
I would do anything to do that. I want to be in the Rumble. If they would let me, listen, anyone listening to this, there's any pull, Ring of Honor, listen, I know who listens to this fucking show. Here's what I want. You know how you're hooking up King Haku, right, last year? And he just shows up with a Bullet Club t-shirt. And I will bring the fatigues, right? I will bring the... the camo pants. That's what I'm alluding to. And I'm going to do the Bushwhacker Rock right down to the ring. I don't care who the fuck throws me out. It could be one of your young lions. I don't give a shit. I'm going to do it. Throw me over the top. I hit the fucking ring. Boom. And then I'm doing the Bushwhacker stroll right out the fucking door.
And imagine me watching the English commentary feed, hearing Steve Corino, Kevin, it's Bushwhacker Damon.
And he looks terrible. he's fucking huge. I will pay 500 American. I'll pay 500 American if we can make this happen, to whoever can make this happen for me. All right? There's the offer. That's the best I can do. All right. Colin, where are we? Tag team division number two. Would you like to hear the third biggest disappointment, Colin?
Yes, I would.
All right. Well, that would be, as voted by the fans, the talent, the New Japan talent, specifically your Nakamura's, your AJ's, your Carl Anderson's, your Doc Gallows.
And your Kota Ibushi to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, again. Well, listen, I don't know if you know this. Kota Ibushi's going to be on this, or he's going to be at the Dome. I heard he's going to be at the Dome. Yeah, I don't know.
I heard that too. Yeah. He may or may not have a tiger head
in his bag. or he may have just bought a ticket. No, it's the talent leaving for the WWE. That was number three, as voted for by the fans. We talked about that earlier.
Yeah, and that's one of those black cloud, silver lining situations.
Correct.
Because look, nobody was more bummed out than me when AJ and Nakamura were headed to New York, as they say. But again, look how effortlessly New Japan handled that situation. I mean, the groundwork was already laid in the summer of 2015 for Naito to kind of transition into that Nakamura role. And, you know, we saw in February, they strapped the jetpack to Kenny Omega, and that guy, being as talented as he is, had no problem seamlessly fitting into the AJ Styles role. And here we are with so much excitement going into Wrestle Kingdom 11. So, yeah, number three, very disappointing at the beginning of the year. But, again, we did see a silver lining.
Yep. Now, again, things could have taken a turn for the worse. I mean, the commitment that New Japan gave Kenny Omega.
And that was the fear, too.
Well, yeah. You know? I mean, that's has a lot to do with that middle or that, you know, that springtime area, the March, April, May, where it seemed like Kenny Omega was kind of cooling off a little bit, right? Remember that?
Yeah, we did not see him winning the G1. That's for certain.
No, and then again, the jetpack was reapplied, and by jetpack I mean a recommitment by the company to a certain Kenny Omega. So that helps, and again, it helps a person's motivation, and it helps a person's drive and focus. And look at him now; he's headlining the Dome. So there we have it. All right, let's move on to one of my favorite categories, Colin. It's the unsung hero. Why don't you take this one?
Yeah, this is our last non-write-in category where we actually had a list of nominees. And want me to just announce it?
Yeah, why don't you give them the rundown? Give the number one unsung hero.
All right, here we go. The winner of unsung hero for 2016 is none other than Hirooki Goto. And Damon, what do we call him?
Chief J.
That's right.
Chief J. Goto. And good for him. At least we recognize him as one of those important cogs in the wheel that keeps the engine running. He definitely is. And he's had one of those years that, again, absolutely unsung. A lot of guys, for a lot of people, it's their favorite wrestler, you know, and they recognize him as one of those guys that gatekeeper to the stars. Is that what you want to call him?
Sure.
That's why we call him the Chief J. Goto. For those of you unaware, you know, back in the day, it was Chief J who was putting over the big heels for the big runs later on against your Backlunds and your San Martinos. So Goto, yeah, he's one of those guys that just can't seem to find his groove. And we say that a lot, right? Goto's got a lot of little catchphrases with us, right?
He really does. I think that he has the most. And I even remember when we did that interview with our buddy Kevin Kelly in Vegas. Mm-hmm. We were talking about maybe that show was going to be when Goto, quote-unquote, got his groove back.
Yeah. Didn't quite get it, did he?
No, he didn't.
How about that interview with Kevin Kelly? That was a good one. That was one of how many interviews have we done so far?
Well, we only have one interview so far in the illustrious Purocast interview series, but we're hoping to change that in 2017.
Yeah, we're hoping. Well, I think
technology depends upon that, folks. Equipment, cash. Yeah. You know, this is I don't know if you know, this is a non-for-profit organization that we run here. So
right, our budgetary requirements are high, but unfortunately our funds are low. All right, so Goto winning the most unsung hero award for 2016. Colin, number two came in as a little bit of a surprise to me, because he was one of those guys that I wasn't even sure if he was really unsung. I mean, but
yeah, we had talk of putting him in Wrestler of the Year, quite frankly.
Yeah. I mean, we really didn't. I didn't really think of him as unsung, but apparently a lot of people did. And when you think about it, they might be right. So number two, if you want to rattle that one off, by all means.
Number two is a Big Mike, Michael Elgin.
Yeah, Michael Elgin, Intercontinental Champion for a good couple months there. He had the table match the ladder match with Kenny Omega. That was,
I think there were tables involved in that match. So
I think there were everything. Handcuffs, right?
It was like a TLC match.
It really turned into that. But he had a strong year. I think his G1 performance was great.
Elkin's one of those wrestlers that kind of flew in under the radar in 2016, because when you take a look at our list of nominees for Match of the Year, for example, I mean, you could easily put that Elgin Nakajima match in there as well. I mean, he could have been on there a lot when you think about it.
Yeah, he had a strong year, but it's one of those things where you just, you know, some people kind of have to go unsung, and this is the category that you can kind of recognize those people. So Michael Elgin, number two, was a surprise to me, but a very happy surprise. I was very happy to see. And then number three is kind of a staple in this category so far, the 2 years that we've done it. And to me, he's one of those guys that it's the epitome of. And when you look back at this guy's career, and the, like, we talk about how Goto is that guy. And while this the person who won the third spot, he's had more success as the front face of the company, but I still think he got a real fucking raw deal a lot of times. And a lot of that has to do with that Inoki bullshit MMA stuff. And again, just head shaking stuff where he wanted his pro wrestlers to be legitimate fighting stars. And he would put these guys in situations that they had no fucking business being in, and they would get lit up. And not only do they get lit up in the ring, it just makes them look bad. Like the people can't – it's hard for people to take, you know, their world champion getting their ass kicked in an MMA match in 30 seconds seriously. So, again, that hurt him. But he's made the most of his situation. And 2016 was a strong year for this guy. And I'll take this one, Colin. This is Yuji Nagata.
The legendary Yuji Nagata.
Oh, Blue Justice for you in third place. So a good performance, and I'm glad that he got recognized as an unsung hero.
You know something? If we would have allowed voting, if the cutoff point wasn't December 15th, I think that you might have seen Yuji Nagata rank even higher based on that match that he had with Nakanishi alone.
Yeah. How about that match? I still think about that match. I think he would have.
That is a gem.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nakanishi got some votes.
Yeah, sure. Some write-ins. I mean, that match is one of the. I'll give that an award right now.
Oh,
I'm going to create an award that is the hidden gem of 2016.
I'm going to give that award the Celebrity Smile Award.
Right? How did you come up with that?
Because I'm a celebrity, Colin, and it made me smile.
You're a star of podcasting.
I'm an internet sensation.
It's sweeping the nation.
Yes.
Literally.
The Celebrity Smile Award. Because, again, even when I think about this match now, it does. It makes me smile. It's one of those matches. Taguchi got some votes for this, Colin. I don't know if you're aware. Rocky Romero.
I'm surprised Taguchi didn't crack the top three. I mean, what a performance he had in Best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah, he had a great 2 months. You know what I mean? He had a great 2 months. Goto, of course, winning. Sonata got a couple votes. Okay. Romero, those are pretty much the top draw getters, the vote getters. But Goto, I won't say hands down, but it was a three-way race: Goto, Elgin, and Nagata, and that's how the voting went. Good job by our listeners.
Alrighty, so now we move on to the final two categories for the 2016 PuroCast End of Year Awards. And these were listener writing categories. And let's start off with the first one, listener's favorite wrestler.
Well, I think this one is hard because votes get split around because people have favorite wrestlers. Again, a guy like Tanahashi, who may not have done so well in Wrestler of the Year, still are people's favorites, and he got plenty of votes. Okada, of course, getting plenty of votes. Ishii getting plenty of votes. Shibata, plenty of votes. But the one guy that came through head and shoulders above the pack, which I don't know. I don't think it was surprising, but just because, I don't know, for some reason, I think another guy gets a little bit more buzz and being hot, but he's just as hot. And obviously, he's our listeners' favorite. And they voted for, in 2016, the favorite wrestler, Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega is your winner.
Kenny Omega. And this comes as no surprise to me. And I'll tell you why. You know, we were talking about this this American expansion that New Japan is so keen on doing in 2017. And, you know, this is obviously an English-speaking podcast that is catering to that Western audience, even though we do have some folks in Japan who do listen to us. But, you know, what I'm trying to say here is Kenny Omega is at the forefront, in my opinion, of that North American expansion. So, yeah, it's not really surprising that he would be our listener's favorite wrestler based on our audience.
Yeah, I thought Naito, and again, we're looking at the votes, Naito was the guy that was on his tail.
Again,
Los Ingobernables being red hot. But yeah, I mean, I think like if you took, I don't want to say the average pro wrestling fan and showed them a picture of Naito and showed them a picture of Kenny Omega, I think more people would know Kenny Omega, I think. And again, he's put in a nice little position now of headlining the Dome, which helps. He's English speaking. That helps. He's in a stable that, while it's not the Bullet Club of old, it's still the Bullet Club, and it still has its fans and its following and its coolness factor. He had a great year, great matches. So, yeah, it's easy. And he wrestles a style. He definitely wrestles a – I don't want to say a modern style, but there's a lot of flash in his substance, right? And he even gives you a little goofiness too, right? Some people really get turned on by the goofiness. So he gives you the total package. So there's a lot to cling on to for Kenny Omega. There's a guy like me who loves the wrestling. Hey, he checks all the boxes. You got a guy who likes the comedy. Listen, he can check all the boxes. English speaking definitely helps for a Western audience. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a shock that he won, and you could definitely can see it.
Do you think that he should now drop the cleaner moniker and be the total package Kenny Omega?
As long as he slams Yokozuna on a battleship, he rides around on a bus. That's all I'm asking for. All right. And then last but not least, Colin, why don't you wrap it up?
Last but not least, the final category here in our 2016 PuroCast End of Year Awards, listeners' least favorite wrestler. And Damon, I'll give you one guess on who won this one.
Well, listen, let me tell a quick story, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
It was close.
Was it really?
I'm telling you not. It was close, and it was shocking me. So why don't you give the winner, and then I'll give you who came in second.
Alrighty, so the winner, according to our listeners, their least favorite wrestler is none other than Bone Soldier / Captain New Japan.
Right. So it was close, because second place was Yoshitatsu, and it was tight.
Poor Yoshitatsu.
What'd I say?
I'll tell you what.
What'd I say? Yoshitatsu? I said Yoshitatsu, right?
Yeah, you said Yoshitatsu.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, poor Yoshitatsu. I mean, because you kind of feel bad for the guy, because he almost killed himself in the ring, legit.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, he comes back after, you know, how long, and he's one of the boys, but he's just not... I hate to say that he's not a very good wrestler, but...
His matches stink,
going to say. Yeah, his matches stink.
The character stinks. The Triple H ripoff. Nobody likes the original Triple H. We don't like a copy of that, right?
For the thousands in attendance.
I mean, listen, it just doesn't work. Nobody wants this. It was tight, and a lot of the logic was, hey, you know what? Bone Soldier is just a bottom feeder. Right. He's a bottom of the card. Just blech, right. Everybody knows it. And it's kind of like that's what you get. Even though this Bone Soldier gimmick is the dirt worst, it's still Captain New Japan. And what do you expect? But with Yoshitatsu, there was this feeling that he was going to be somebody and be someone. And the fact that he's doing this really just bland and uninspired Triple H ripoff gimmick. Like,
he's
of all
the
people,
Bullet Club Hunter.
I get it. I don't want it. It's terrible. Like, it just seems like, I don't.
If he really wanted to go all out and complete the Triple H gimmick, he should come out with a shovel.
A sledgehammer. He's gonna come out with.
No, a shovel for burying people.
Now listen. If he did that, you got yourself a wrestler of the year category.
That should be his gimmick, burying talent.
Now you're talking. So see, look at you, Colin. You turned this fucking thing right around.
Hey, what?
Kevin Kelly, get him a shovel. Get him. You know what I'm talking about. You lived it. You were there. You know what I'm talking about. Get that guy a shovel. Wow. Yeah. But that was the logic and the reasoning behind a lot of people's votes for voting for Yoshitatsu. Was just they can't stand it. And again, the match is not great at all. Not even good. Bordering. I mean, you look at the worst matches of the year. He's in the majority of them, right? He's in them.
He's in matches that, you know, haven't received any stars.
Duds. Yeah. 1.5s. Yeah. And then again, the Billy Gunn thing that did him no favors. It was just a horrible year for him. It was just a horrific year. And him, you know, at the Dome, good commentary. there's nothing that he did. There's nothing that Yoshitatsu touched that was even marginally good.
They tried, Kevin Kelly and Matt Stryker tried to dangle that carrot in front of him.
Well, it was Carino, wasn't it?
No. It was Matt Stryker did the commentary at Wrestle Kingdom 10. I know, you kind of forget that he even did commentary for New Japan.
Yeah, my bad.
They tried to dangle that carrot for him. And we talked about it in our interview with Kevin. Go back and listen to that. It's a very insightful interview, actually, in the PuroCast archives. But as much as they tried, Yoshitatsu would just not bite.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of things going on there. But, yeah, that was not a good job by him. And again, his in-ring work has been average at best. And, again, we know he's coming up the injury. But how long do you give him the benefit of the doubt with that? But yeah, he came in second though. Bone Soldier. Oh, Bone Soldier.
Who came in third? Do you know?
Yeah, I do. Let me see. Loa, Tongaloa.
Okay, Tongaloa. Well, it's funny because he also got votes for most improved.
Yeah, yeah. Again, we only look for one. One vote, right? We didn't do the top three, but yeah. Let me see who else got votes.
Did Yujiro get any votes there?
Oh, yeah. He got a handful. He got a handful. Yano got a handful. Chase Owens got a few. Fale got a couple, not many. Those were the mainstays. Adam Page got a handful.
We had some people writing.
My bad. Hangman Page.
That's right. Hangman Page. I was just going to say, though, we had some people writing some
very hurtful things.
Scathing things as it pertains to the Bone Soldier. Like, things that even we couldn't repeat on this podcast.
No. They were very hurtful.
They really were.
Very hurtful. Look. He didn't deserve all that.
Yeah, the guy sucks, but I don't want.
Right. Trust me, we're not even going to get into some of the stuff. But yeah, they were some of them. I would read it, and I would physically just go, "Oh God!"
Yeah, if we read them, we would have the FBI contacting us asking for these emails.
You listeners are animals. No. But yeah, so there you go. So that's that least favorite Bone Soldier, and that, kids, puts a nice little ribbon, a nice little package for the 2016 PureCast Awards. I don't have to worry about this for another fucking year, and done. There you go.
There you have it. Thus concludes the second annual PuroCast End of Year Awards. And once again, big thank you to all of our listeners who participated in this. I think that these awards, Damon, I think that you would agree with this as well. It really creates that sort of family environment that we have here. You know, we all love this product. We all love professional wrestling. And this is one of my favorite things that we do here on this podcast. So thank you for participating, and can't wait to do it again next year at this time. Although, Damon, I think that you're, you know.
What?
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. But that's that. I appreciate everyone's votes. No, really. I echo Colin's feelings on this. You guys did a good job, I think, with these. I think none of these awards was I sitting here thinking like, oh my god, these people are out of their fucking minds. Every award made sense. Every vote made sense. I can't say every vote made sense, but you know, by and large, everything, you know, kind of fell in line of good logical thinking. Good logical thing, we'll say. So my hats. I have multiple hats, and they're off to you guys. Well done.
Well, Damon, before we wrap up today's edition of the PuroCast, a couple things I want to touch on. Number one, as our listeners are listening to this on New Year's Day, you're probably going to be in the air.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to listening to the show, actually, in the air. I'm actually looking forward to listening to the Voices of Wrestling flagship show. They have done a wonderful job previewing the Wrestle Kingdom show. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. I'll be watching some pro wrestling on the plane as well. So when we get out here, I'm going to get some lunch, and then I'm going to finish packing, and then I got a very early flight tomorrow.
Second thing that I wanted to touch upon here, and this is actually a question that I want to pose to you. I'll give you my answer, but let me throw it out there. What is the main thing as we march forward in 2017 that you want to see out of New Japan Pro Wrestling? What's the main thing that you want them to do?
Growth. Like I do want to see how they tackle this North American thing and do it without losing their shirt, doing it smartly, incorporating resources that they have here in the States, not just with Ring of Honor, but with they have a lot of look, not for nothing, but we're not the only podcast out there, right? But I'm very proud of what we've been able to accomplish, especially with a New Japan audience. And you know, let's see what they can do to tap into some of the resources that they have here that can help them grow the audience here, right? And I think these awards, not to pump our chests a little bit, but I think these awards play a large factor in that. And I think there are lots of things. I think the Reddit group, right, the New Japan Pro Wrestling Reddit group, subreddit, is an outstanding resource. I think that the Voices of Wrestling team is an outstanding resource, right? Colin, they do every year, they do a yearbook. And we were supposed to be involved in it. We just couldn't find the time to do it. And I felt horrible. And they reached out to us to be involved in their yearbook. We just couldn't make it happen. And I let Rich know. I was like, dude, I am so sorry. I just literally don't have the fucking time with the holidays and everything to be involved. But that resource, the job that they do with that, Colin, is absolutely, I say the word a lot, but it is a tremendous job. And I don't know how they do it. So when that gets released, and it's going to be soon, guys, if it's $5, if it's $10, if it's free, if it's whatever it is, download it, buy it, get it, because I can't tell you what kind of resource this is. They have blurbs about every single wrestler who wrestled in the promotion during the year. It's just a great job. So that's a great resource. Chris Charlton in the Twitter feed.
I was
right?
about to mention him.
It's just an outstanding resource, right? Dude, there's other podcasts, and I'll mention Strong Style. Is it Strong Style Central or Strong
yes.
Style Spirit? Right, they do it. It's a newer New Japan podcast. They do a good job as well, right? That's another resource. So I'm curious to see how they do that. Like, how do they incorporate these resources that they have? And don't try and fly it alone, guys. Let us be involved, because I think that we can help navigate some of those waters that might be a little bit tricky for you guys.
Absolutely. Well said, Damon. And the main thing that I'm hoping to see New Japan accomplish in 2017, and this goes along with the American growth, they need an English-speaking app for NJPW World. Now, with that being said, I was telling you the other day, I actually went out and I picked up a Chromecast finally, and that is a big improvement, actually, from having to hook up the old HDMI cable from my laptop to my television. It looks great. It works flawlessly, at least for me. So I highly recommend that to everyone who is still
and
in
they're
my
cheap.
Boat. Yeah, I mean, I paid $35 for my Chromecast. I mean, that's...
Yeah. I picked up two extra ones on the over the holidays. I got one for a gift, and I actually got another one in the house. $25 each.
Which is that like the do you have like the hockey puck style one, the round?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And it hooks right in the back with the HDMI cable. Again, it just makes life easier if you're watching New Japan World and even anything online. So if you want to improve your watching experience, $25 Chromecast, get it.
Yeah, in the meantime, absolutely pick up the Chromecast. But in 2017, really, New Japan needs to, you know, at the bare minimum, get an English-speaking website. But, you know...
Well, they do. They have it, and it's horrific. It's just...
Exactly.
Like, all right, listen, you know, from the digital marketing perspective, it's just horrific. Like, from a crawlability perspective. Like, I just wish, give me 15 minutes. I'll fix your fucking website. I'll have it search friendly. You know, we'll set up a real pay-per-click campaign. Come on, people. You know, just fucking contact me. I want to help.
That's one of the things that I would like to be able to do on NJPW World. I want to just be able to click in that search box and, I don't know, let's say I'm looking for Okada versus Goto from The New Beginning 2014. I just want to be able to type in Okada versus Goto. And then that will direct me to all of their matches rather than having to click on player name.
Right, translate. I know. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
It's a drag. It's not conducive to American growth, quite frankly, because I've said it before. I'll say it again. In the year 2017, we live in a instant gratification society. That's just the way it is, and people want to be able to turn on their Roku, their Amazon Fire Stick, their Apple TV, whatever it is, and just click on the app and everything is right there in front of them. So I think that getting a real honest to God app on all of the major streaming devices is going to be very crucial in their North American expansion.
Listen, I usually shit on when you talk about that, but you're right. For North American growth, let's make it easy as possible. Let's make it as easy as possible for people to hop on board, right? If that's the goal, again, if North America is a goal in 2017 for New Japan, they got to think like an American. And that might be very difficult. That might be very difficult for a Japanese-based company.
They need to go get some cheeseburgers and fries.
right. We got to get some old fashions, get a couple burgers in us, and we'll fucking fix this. All right. So that's that. So that's our advice to them. That is correct. Let me finish it off with this, Colin.
Sure.
I know we did predictions. Any changes in your predictions? Omega, Okada. What do you see happening?
Omega, Okada. Well, it's kind of a toss-up because I can really see it going either way. Now, if they're really going, you know, a full blast with this North American expansion, like I said, Kenny Omega is your guy. He is the guy to lead the way. With that being said, I said it on our last episode. He has been getting the better of Okada so frequently now that it would not surprise me to see an Okada victory. Now, let me ask you this. If we do see an Okada victory and he retains, does that kind of hurt Kenny Omega's momentum in any way?
No. And let me throw a little fact at you that I shared. I posted this on the Classic Japanese board.
Okay.
Food for thought. Naito, back 3 years ago, wins G1, or 4 years ago, whatever it was, wins the G1, right?
Yep. 2013, I think.
Yep. Loses at the Tokyo Dome. Okada, the next year. Wins G1, loses at the Tokyo Dome, right?
He did that twice.
The year after that, Tanahashi wins G1, loses at the Tokyo Dome. This year, Kenny Omega wins G1. I wouldn't be surprised if he loses at the Tokyo Dome. New Japan is not a promotion, at least in the past, where they rush to do things, right? So if history, recent history, is on anyone's side, it's Okada to walk away as champion. Two, you're right. Okada does. It does seem like he's got to get the upper hand, right? But there is that monkey wrench. If they're going to go all in on U.S., Kenny Omega is a guy that you probably want to put the belt on. I'm going with Okada.
I'm also going with Okada.
Yeah, I'm going Okada with the win. There is time for Kenny Omega. This is not going to hurt Kenny Omega. This is a loss here would not hurt Kenny Omega. Maybe we see a little, maybe we see a little Kota Ibushi. Again, that was always my hope podcasts ago, right? So maybe we have that finally paying off. But if for an official prediction, I know it was 50-50 last week. I'm going Okada as my final prediction.
And that's the great thing about this match, because it really can go either way. You know, no one guy is solidified as being the winner. It's not obvious at all.
No, it's not. And that's what makes it great. That's what makes it fucking great. Oh, Colin, this fucking show is going to be great. It's going to be great. And I'm excited for it. And listen, everybody that's listening to this show, if you're not excited for this, I don't know. Wake up. Wake the fuck up, because it is on paper fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. I can't wait. I'm pumped up. Stay up late. Take a nap. Whatever you got to do, watch it live. It's going to be exciting on paper. Maybe one of the more exciting shows of the year. Pants are down. Let's do this. I'm ready to go.
And on that exciting note, Damon, that wraps up our very first episode of 2017.
Whew. Well, that's good to know, because I got a little packing to do. I got a flight to catch tomorrow. Colin, you have a wonderful new year. Our next show, I'm doing one from Tokyo, right?
Yeah, so here's the plan, kids. Our Wrestle Kingdom 11 review and our New Year Dash review is going to take place on, it's going to be up on Sunday. So next Sunday, you will get our review for that show. Because just, you know, time-wise, logistically, I'll be at work. Damon will actually be there. We're not going to be able to see the show at the same time, obviously. So, you know, it's not going to be an instant review, but it will be up on next Sunday.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll post some feelings online. Who knows?
Maybe we'll do some live tweeting.
Colin won't give me access to the fucking Twitter account, will you?
For that night, I will.
You're really?
Yes.
Oh, boy. And you're going to be asleep? Oh, I get it's like
giving
parents
a toddler a machine gun.
You better rethink that logic. We'll see. Maybe a live tweet. But I know that we're going to be listen, who knows what's going to happen this week. So we got a lot of things planned. I'm going to be meeting with a lot of people. Who knows what nuggets we get out of this week. So, yeah, I'll be in Tokyo for that show. So, again, everyone, enjoy Wrestle Kingdom. Enjoy the Dash. Enjoy all the pro wrestling that's going on that week. It's exciting. Thank you for listening. Bon voyage to me. And for some of our listeners, some of the listeners are going over there. We'll see you over there. We'll tweet out the coordinates. We'll meet up. I think we're talking about the TGI Fridays right at Quirk and Hall, actually, the morning of the
show.
How
American of you?
But it's the only place. Honestly, it's the biggest place down there. It's like the most central place. And our timeline's all fucked up. So, there's a TGI Fridays right next to Quirk. And so that's where we're kind of thinking we're going to meet up. So, All right. We'll see you then.
All right, so that is a wrap, ladies and gents. Remember, NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things PuroCast. Links to all social media there, Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, the whole bits. And
Grindr,
Grindr, Tumblr, Friendster, you know.
Anything with an R. If it ends in an R, we're there.
Exactly. And, of course, the great Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com. Like Damon said earlier, they also have some great New Japan coverage going on over there. Those guys do a fantastic, thorough job, if I don't say so myself. And like I said, we are going to be back here next Sunday to give you our full review of Wrestle Kingdom 11 and New Year Dash. So, on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. Enjoy Wrestle Kingdom 11, and we shall talk to you next week.